And somehow we wound up having a discussion about, like, what if someone tried to rob you with some nunchucks and how you would not care until boom, now you're down three teeth, just one flick of the wrist. And I just remember we sat and talked for like 20 minutes just about the underratedness of nunchucks. They're illegal in New York City.
They should be.
Highly questionable. I'm Dan Levitard. That's Katie Nolan and Bomani Jones. We've got some nunchuck stories for you. Let's get started.
Should the NBA allow Jimmy Butler to wear no name on the back of his jersey?
All right. One of the reasons that they're called uniforms and football fines people when, say, Peyton Manning wants to wear Johnny Unitas's shoes, but he's not allowed to after Johnny Unitas dies, is because they want everything uniform. But the NBA has opened a bit of a Pandora's box here where they're saying some social messages are approved, but you can't really put Free Hong Kong on your jersey, as Pablo Torre said. And so what Jimmy Butler is doing here is he's going the artistic route. The Miami Heat, a long time ago, with Trayvon Martin, they all put hoods on to show that any one of them could be in danger because they were black men. And now Jimmy Butler is going with silence on the back of his jersey. No name. And it's not unselfish. I'm a team guy. You don't need to know my name. He wants approved the idea that he could be one of these people who is killed in the street by a police officer. He is nameless, a faceless black body, and he's going with artistic representation. They should let him do it because he's trying to make a social statement.
Yeah, no, they'll look bad if they don't let him do it. They need to go ahead and do this because, look, that is more impactful than what was the most lukewarm one on the list is always equality. Way to stand out there on a limb, buddy. Equality, right? No, let them do this. I think that this gets more discussion out there, and I think that we're going to get more positive out of this than the least prescribed list of statements to make here, because I think that this was a good idea when they first came up with it. They shouldn't have told us about it until they had thought about it a little more, because after they thought about it a little more, I think they all looked at each other and were like, yeah, guys, I don't think this is a great idea, but you already told the world that you were going to do it, so here we are. So Jimmy Butler, in a lot of ways, kind of saves them because he improves what this thing is without outwardly just, you know, pooping on it like I just did.
Yeah, I mean, it is weird to be like, tell us about yourself with an adjective and then give you a word bank. And then you're like, I don't know, one of those is kind of close, but I'm kind of between two of them, and this one doesn't describe me at all, but this one, I don't know. It's like a weird way to make you have to choose from a list of existing words, so I get it. But I do want to point out, and I'm not accusing Jimmy Butler of this, but it does sound like one I wouldn't do an assignment in high school, and then I was like, by not doing the assignment, what I'm doing is taking a stand for everybody out there who can't do the assignment, so it's actually more poignant of a message. I know it's not what he's doing, but if he was, shout out to you, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I do have to say, I know for a fact that he had been thinking about this for a while.
Like, oh,
this
damn is not it, Bo. It would have been so much better if he was just like, nah, Jimmy Butler didn't want to pick a word. And so he was like, no word means more.
Don't get me wrong. I liked your explanation a little bit better than his for this television show. Like, for the world, I like his. But for right now, I wish you were correct. And in fact, if I did not know that you were wrong, I would have totally rolled with what you had said. Because at that moment, the truth was not nearly as important as my own entertainment.
Is it a good or a bad sign that NBA players are snitching on each other in the bubble?
All right, this is the reason that hotline was created, so that people would be safer. But Lou Williams is on Twitter putting a rat out there because he doesn't like snitches. And Spencer Dinwiddie, and before I go down this path, I just want to remind you that I will forever associate, again, because I know I've said this on this TV show, Spencer Dinwiddie at the beginning of this pandemic with starting a $25 million GoFundMe, and the second biggest donation he got was for $69 from the Knicks are poopy butt soup. Spencer Dinwiddie also is saying people shouldn't be snitching out here, but Bomani, they really need this thing to work for all of sports. They're the leader on this. If they can't get this thing to work, nobody's going to be able to get it to work because their protocol is so exhaustive. And so, of course, they need to be snitching on each other a little bit as it comes to the safety stuff.
Hey, man. Nobody wants to be the person that gets on television and encourages the snitching. Every single group of people, if they have any camaraderie, is anti-snitching. You can't find a single one in this world that is pro-snitching. However, I seen those Chris Paul jokes. My man Josh Eberle up there in Canada had one of Chris Paul on the bus snitching, talking about, yeah, Buena Vista Drive. I just saw him leave. And everybody said, ha, ha, ha. Chris Paul, isn't he the man that runs the union? He needs to be sitting in the lobby of his hotel every night, staying up all night long, just waiting to snitch on people. I don't care who you are. I don't care where it is you think that you're going. This is about something bigger than you right now. This ain't even really about basketball. They need to snitch on every single one of them, because if I could snitch on the rest of y'all every time I go outside,
put on a damn mask.
Give me a phone number and I'll snitch on the whole block. In fact, if you're an NBA player and you're the one calling in on the bubble to get on people, honestly, I feel like they need to give you an award at the end. Like, save it. Don't tell who everybody is and bring them up there. This man saved lives.
Yeah, it's important to note that, and I'm sure most people know this, but in case you don't, they're not snitching on them for, like, smoking weed or doing interesting, cool stuff that we all don't want to get snitched on for. They're getting snitched on for, like, not wearing a mask or stepping outside of the quarantine or whatever it is that they're doing. And I would argue this is what people wanted. This is what fans wanted. People didn't like it when NBA players were all too close and too friendly. They're like, I miss the days when there were rivalries and people were out to get each other. So here you go. They are out to get each other, but in a way that protects public health. Isn't that just perfect?
Is now the time for MLB to go to robot umps?
Baseball is so hesitant to change. Worse about change than any of our sports, because they are so proud about what their history is. And so you find yourself in a position where a pandemic might be the reason they do the thing that they should have done a long time ago. Tennis has the technology all right. We could have gone to robot umps a while ago, given where we are technologically, but you don't want to cost human beings their jobs. And so here's where we are with this. That is interesting, because the Baseball Umpires Union is so strong. 11 guys, because you might be older, you might be overweight, 11 guys have already opted out of the season. And the way the union works is, if they play one major league game this season, one, the umpires get 37.5% of their salary. So would you do that? Avoid all risk, avoid all work, and get a third of your salary. If it means they're going to replace you forever with robots when you leave because you want this little bit of money. This is the time for baseball to do this, because you don't want Angel Hernandez out there anymore just because that union's strong. Get them all out of here.
This seems like the perfect time to try this. Without all the money and all the complicated stuff you just said, Dan, it's like, this is a season that's already an anomaly. It's already going to stand out. So for a sport that is very hesitant to ever try anything that's different, you're going to have to do stuff a little bit different this season anyway. So just go ahead and try it and save lives, especially even the lives of the people, the umpires whose names we know, who don't believe in coronavirus and, you know, think that hospitals are getting money every time that they say people die from coronavirus, so they're lying, Joe West. So, like, even protect the lives of those who appear to not know any better, just to try these robot umps. And also, they probably won't be perfect in the first season and they're going to need work, so why not? It just makes perfect sense. Just robot umps, guys.
All right, I'm not so keen on being the guy that's coming down on the side of Cowboy Joe West, who is shockingly still umpiring Major League Baseball game. However, when we are all serfs working for a bunch of robots that have run the world,
this is
people
not
like
bad.
You are going to be complicit and responsible for that, man. No, 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 no. I don't. Have you never seen a single movie in your life? Every single one. I don't even watch that many movies, but this is how it starts. There's always a few people that are okay with, hey, man, we can do this, we can do that. Then next thing you know, we all going to be working for the robots and not get no money. How about
Bo, do
this
you
part
think that robots don't have the ability to watch this show and hear you talking about them? So when they are in charge, they're coming for you first.
I got news for you. They might come for me first, but they still coming for you next, because they coming for everybody. And the part that everybody loses sight of when these things come up and you start talking about making machines into the officials: umpires make baseball more fun. Referees make basketball more fun. Pull up a clip of Earl Weaver arguing with that dude in the first inning about a balk, and it goes for 3 minutes. You don't have that without an umpire. Baseball is actually better with a little less standardization of the strike zone and the likes. The neighborhood play, I'm actually a big fan of it. You get the point. It wasn't close. I got to put my foot on this base. What for? No, man, we need the umpires, because in the end, they make things better, even the ones who are a little bit terrible, because we all enjoy talking about how much we hate Joe West. I'm 39 years old, and people have been enjoying talking down on Joe West for 40 years.
No, wait a minute. You don't get away with changing your opinion on Joe West here. You have had two opinions today that are shocking. One, you came out in favor of snitching, and here you are sort of supporting the job of Joe West, who looks like a baked potato.
Because part of being on the side of the working man is occasionally having to be on the side of a man that you wish wasn't working. Mm. You remember that time Andre Dawson threw all those bats at Joe West?
Oh yeah.
Andre Dawson. They're like so mild mannered.
Oh my god.
He threw like 8 bats at Joe West. He was throwing them like 3 at a time.
Coming up next on my son Stevie show.
Nunchucks are the single most underrated weapon in the history of weaponry. Like, think about it. If somebody came up to you and just put some nunchucks in your face, you wouldn't be scared. Bah! Uh-huh. Watch you get hit in the face.
That's
even
right.
In the movies with the nunchucks, people are normally just playing around with the nunchucks, but you don't really see people get hit in the face with them.
Do you question if Paul Pierce believes this take?
All right, so Luka Doncic has been amazing for his age. He is going to be a great player for a very long time. But let's see what he's been doing with trick shots in the bubble.
Cool. Useless, but neat.
Oh. I mean, he's from one of the countries where they play that game.
Yes. Now, Paul Pierce exists to say things like this. I don't even know what he's saying. But the fact that we're talking about it is because Paul Pierce exists to say things like this.
Clearly, he's special. He's a talent. He's probably, to me, he is the most talented player in the NBA today.
I mean, I don't think that's crazy. Not that crazy. I don't think right now he's the most talented player in the NBA, but we ain't far from seeing based on how he's playing right now in the NBA.
That's not how talent works. You don't go get more talent while you're in the league. He's a really, 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 really good player. But let me tell you this about Doncic, okay? We are in this place now when I see this happen with other guys. Donovan Mitchell's a great example. What happened with Melo in his career? We like some guys early, and then as they go, we start paying more attention to the things we don't like about their game. And at some point, Luka Doncic is shooting 9 threes a game at 32%. People are going to look up and realize, hey, we don't actually like it when guys do things like that. He's really, really good. But some of the things that we are so impressed by now, as it goes along, we're going to be meaner to him, and then the opinions of him are going to calibrate a little different.
As a person who sits in one of these boxes and has to talk for like a limited amount of time about a subject, I recognize what's happening with Paul Pierce, which is it feels like he just is like, this guy's really good. And then he's got blank stares back at him. They're like, you got to fill for a little bit longer. He's really good. He's got a good skill set. He's one. And, you know, I would say, and this is just me and now just talking for myself, he's the most talented. He doesn't really mean it. He gets a text from Luca in the middle of the segment where you can tell he's probably just like, thank you so much, man. That was so nice.
Nah, he's probably in the top 10 on talent. He's in that interesting space, though, where his game is not really predicated at all by athleticism. And we think a talent typically is physical gifts. Like, he works well in the phone booth to be that size and all that stuff. He can do all kinds of things, but like the most talented player in the league, like we taking him over Giannis? Like, are we saying that he's a more talented player than Giannis or a more talented player than Anthony Davis or, you know, LeBron James? Like, this is a real tough list to get on.
If there's anyone who could explain, like, when you are watching something that's a little inexplicable, because Doncic being that good can be confusing to people for obvious reasons, Paul Pierce should understand that, because Paul Pierce, I never understood how he became one of the greatest scorers in the league.
Do you question if this is making Alvin Kamara a better football player?
Edgerrin James was such a physical freak that he would play in an NFL game and that night he would just go play basketball with his friends. And I have not seen a dude like that in the league until this guy, Alvin Kamara, who the game comes to similarly easy. Let's check in with Alvin Kamara here as he does some weight work that's unusual.
What?
Oh, wow. That's pretty impressive.
No, that's insane.
You're not impressed?
No, I'm saying that's insane. That's yes, like, okay, that's so he's standing on that balancey thing. This is my workout expertise coming out here. He's got two, what are those, tennis balls in his hands, and then the trainer has two sticks that have three prongs in each a different color, and he's calling out a color, and he has to catch it there? That's nuts.
I got to say, while I find that to be pretty cool and impressive, I'd like to talk to the trainer and explain to me what exactly we're getting out of this. Like, not that the balance stuff and this isn't necessarily helpful or whatever it is, but at what point did he come up with, I'm going to throw this dude's stuff of different colors and make him snatch at my DM?
It's like this quick decision-making. That's very hard to do.
Yeah, I know. I agree that it's very hard to do. I'm talking about the guy that came up with it in the first place. And just like, oh, I wonder what I can get Alvin to do next.
I don't know. That just made me think that would make me better at video games. It's something that I need is the ability to see something, assess it, and just do it really fast. So maybe I'll start. Yeah. Maybe that'll get me to go to the gym to be better at video games.
Now, somehow these dudes are all like even more amazing than we think, right? Like that is the wildest thing, that the closer you get to this, the more you realize how insanely talented all these dudes
They're so amazing that we can watch that clip and go, is this impressive? And it's like, yes, of course it is.
Do you question if this makes this bear more intimidating?
Okay, bears can be intimidating. You're supposed to, when they're around you, you're supposed to sort of be intimidating back. You're supposed to spread your arms and yell, hey, bear, and hey, bear. That's the way you're supposed to. Do not run. Do not run. That's
hey,
how you're
bear.
Supposed to handle it. It's one of the fears that I have. Yes, you're supposed to make yourself big. Let's see what we have with this bear. Did you just snort? I am an expert at
bear. Hello, bear. I come in peace.
He tossed the Ron McGill. Oh, okay.
Yo, he's nunchucking?
Yo. Okay. That's the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. Like, I'm not going to say I'm convinced that that is an actual bear, but as I have discussed many, many times with you guys, nunchucks are the single most underrated weapon in the history of weaponry. Like, think about it. If somebody came up to you and just put some nunchucks in your face, you wouldn't be scared. Bah! Uh-huh. Watch you get hit in the face.
That's
even
right.
In the movies with the nunchucks, people are normally just playing around with the nunchucks, but you don't really see people get hit in the face with them.
That's
why? Because not even a stump man is trying to get hit in the face with a nunchuck. It is a billy club on a chain.
Yes, it's very dangerous. Very dangerous.
Would you yell, hey, bear, to that bear, Dan? Or
look,
is that
you
only
can make fun
unarmed?
Of me all you want.
Is
I want
it only
to turn
if they're
the,
unarmed?
Hold on a second. I want to turn the light on Bomani here. Did you just accuse that bear of being a human being in a bear costume?
It looks entirely possible.
How is it doing that with no thumbs? I thought thumbs were the thing that made us superior.
That's all I'm asking. Now, those aren't actually nunchucks, I don't think. They look like kitchen equipment, to be perfectly honest. But, I mean, that right there, nah, like, as if being a bear is... I don't know what's scarier to me, a bear or nunchucks. You show up in front of me with some nunchucks, the world is yours.
That's right. The hey bear doesn't work on nunchucks. It only works on bears, Katie. Get it right.
In Milwaukee, MLB Summer Camp.
What is coming from sports is going to be very strange. It's going to feel very different than what you're used to. So here we go out to Christian Yelich, and they're trying to simulate a game experience here without fans, without anybody around. Let's see what that looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like.
But we can continue to talk. Last time we just stopped talking and he struck
out.
So yeah, we're trying to change the mojo a little bit.
Guys are superstitious. They don't want to deal with that.
What we don't want is for Christian to take the mic off.
Well, did you catch the booing as he was coming up to home plate?
Oh, I did
and
not.
And what he said? He said, what am I, a Wrigley?
Yeah, the boo. So if you are just joining us, they're pumping in crowd noise.
Mic up the players if you want to make this a more interesting experience without the crowd noise. It's going to be weird. Mic them up so we can hear stuff like that. Katie, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I agree with you. Mic them up, and because don't leave it up to some guy in a sound booth to decide who's going to get booed and who's going to get cheered. That's a very strange job, and it's just going to be jarring. But also, if the players are mic'd up, you'll get an interesting reaction out of them. But yeah, mic up players. Don't do that.
Well, Monty, how about you? You intrigued with this faux noise that we're going to start hearing?
Yo, I had not considered like the ebbs and flows of the crowd noise and the pumped in crowd noise. I thought it would just be just kind of like some general background noise. I had not considered the possibility of people being booed. And I am totally on board with this idea. Like, I would love to see somebody else decide that he is the proxy for the fans and he knows how they would feel.
In New Haven, Connecticut, Bill Belichick filming a commercial.
Oh, is this going to be awkward? Look at Katie. Look, oh, she was just made happy by the mention of his name.
Oh,
she's
God.
Glowing over there, radiant.
Oh,
her
God.
Beloved genius coach is not good.
Just show
at
the clip.
Let's see. He can't be good at acting.
Yes. Sit on that bench, King.
Sensual sandwich eating.
Oh, look how short his pants are.
and a tiny bottle of water.
Nobody looks cool drinking one of those bottles.
Those are the sneakers you would have imagined, right? That's yes. formal wear for him, correct? That is black tux for him. Is that Bomani, are you intrigued?
I just can't imagine how miserable that man was shooting that commercial. I just really cannot imagine for a moment how tedious and how awfully felt like it was, where they're telling you move a little bit here, move a little bit there, to which I imagine dozens of players said, how's it feel to be me? Like they are now, like this is what it's like to play for you.
This is your account, Katie Nolan. Surely you're delighted.
Yeah, I don't know. You feel bad for Bill. I feel bad for the director. Can you imagine having to direct Bill Belichick yes. in a commercial, a tedious commercial? That was definitely the $5 foot longest day of his life.
Wow.
Should that get a loser game show sound? I kind of like that one. You didn't
Thank
like
you.
That? You didn't
Thanks
like
so
that
much.
One?
It just popped into my head, Bo. We can't all be brilliant in the moment like you.
We're finished here. If you need more of these two folks, Katie Nolan, you check out the podcast Sports with a Question Mark and Bomani Jones, The Right Time with Bomani Jones. Find them.
Well, hold on. Who still carry your brass knuckles, right? Like there's somebody out here that's still got a set of brass knuckles.
Look, I'm going to go to my car and get the brass knuckles. I've got a situation I got to go deal with.
No. Yeah. You don't go to the car. If you got brass knuckles, you take them everywhere you go. Or like, you know, I don't think you spontaneously decide to put on brass knuckles. That decision is made before you leave the house. I'm coming back with my money.